Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today on the show, another deadly medley as our Seven Sins series continues. Wow, lots of S's there. And later, a sound architect teams up with a world-famous a cappella group to explore the human heart. Christopher Janney and the Persuasions will play live in our studio. But first, each Friday on Soundcheck, we're exploring how one of the seven deadly sins has shaped music from a variety of genres. Today, we look at the most delicious sin. Yeah, I'm talking about gluttony, and two of our regular Soundcheck guests are here to give us a mouthful of it. Amanda Petrusich writes about pop and rock music for Pitchfork Media, Paste Magazine, and the New York Times. And Fred Plotkin writes about music and food and wine. He's the author of books like Opera 101 and Italy for the Gourmet Traveler. And to the two of you, welcome back.
Delicious to be here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, last week we started this, you know, the seven sins with lust, and we had no shortage of songs about, you know, sex and lust and all that kind of stuff. Fred, what about gluttony? Is there more than we would expect?
Well, there's never enough gluttony as far as I'm concerned, and we don't have to think of it as a sin. It's pleasure. Some of these others really are sins, but gluttony is one of the minor ones.
Well, but it's one of the deadly ones, according to Pope Gregory, who came up with this list back in the 6th century or whatever.
True.
It was.
Ultimately, it's all deadly, but I went back to the Dante, because Dante talks about the seven deadly sins, and for gluttony in the Divine Comedy, he referred to it as gula, which means throat or swallowing. So there's really nothing wrong with that. We sing from the same mechanism we eat from.
Well, and I guess perhaps then that's a good segue to the world of opera,
yes.
Where the singers clearly do, many of them, as much eating as they do singing.
I've seen it.
That's been the tradition, at least. There are characters in opera who are all about food, and the one that leaps to mind is Verdi's Falstaff.
Absolutely. Falstaff, in fact, places an order during the course of the opera. Sei polli, six chickens, tre tacchini, three turkeys, due fagiani, which are two pheasants. And then, to be a little lean, he says, e un'acciuga, one little anchovy.
Just to show that there is some restraint involved here. Here is that excerpt from the Verdi opera Falstaff.
Cacciare di Jerez, due lire, tre tacchini, fruga nella mia borsa, due fagiani, un'acciuga,
un penny,
fruga,
oh frugata,
fruga.
From Verdi's Falstaff in Act One, Falstaff is looking over the bill, and Fred, you left out something.
There are 30 barrels of sherry that he consumed as well. He had to wash it down with something.
All those turkeys and chickens and pheasants and that single anchovy.
Of course.
So gluttony extending not just to the food, but to the area of drink as well. And we are talking this week on Soundcheck about the second of the seven deadly sins, gluttony.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
When Dee Dee Sharp sings, "Gimme, gimme, gimme, gimme gravy tonight," I somehow don't think she's really talking about sauce for her mashed potatoes.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
And while you're there, you can leave a comment or a gluttonous idea, a gluttonous piece of music, if you know one. Amanda Petrusich, in the blues, food isn't always about food, is it?
Right. Yeah, I assume everyone will find this shocking and appalling, but no, it's not actually about cherry pie. I think quite often food is employed as a euphemism for sex or for, you know, any number of other sins. But I thought this was you know, it was fun to think of these songs for that reason. Not only, you know, is it challenging to try to find songs that are actually about food and eating, but then when you kind of think of the word gluttony in the sort of broadest definition of that word, you know, this idea of overindulgence or overconsumption or just wanting too much, you know, it starts to feel like every blues and rock and roll song ever written is about that.
So these sort of delineations of this is the sin of lust, this is the sin of greed, this is the sin of gluttony, you're saying they kind of... they blur.
Right.
It's all one big sinful mess.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great description of blues and rock and roll, actually.
Both Fred Plotkin and Amanda Petrosich's respective lists of music about gluttony can be found on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Memphis Mini is on your list, Amanda.
Yeah, Memphis Minnie is probably one of the most well-known of the female post-war blues singers. And this song, Keep On Eatin', you know, again, I will make sort of no claims for her true intentions in these lyrics, but at least on paper, it's a song about feeding your man. You know, and it has this great chorus of keep on eatin', baby, till you get enough.
Let's hear it from Memphis Minnie.
A pot of soup and make you drink it up, so keep on eating. Oh, keep on eating. Keep on eating, baby, till you get out now. You don't like nobody's cooking but mine. Get up in the morning, fix you a 10-knot line so you can keep on eating. Keep on eating. Keep on eating, baby, till you get out now.
Memphis Minnie, Keep On Eating, one of our songs of gluttony on this edition of Soundcheck. Jonathan on Long Island writes, what about Eat It and Fat by Weird Al Yankovic? Those songs are clearly about gluttony, whether they are parody or not. But I suppose, Amanda, that's... when you get into the novelty song, that's a whole different thing entirely.
Right, sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, those two songs, they're great examples, and certainly about gluttonous behavior.
What about Maria in Brooklyn writes, Peaches by the Presidents of the United States of America, classic food song extolling the virtues of abundance, and I detect no hint of irony. The guy just likes lots and lots of peaches. Is Maria missing something?
Well, you know, I... that song could very well be about peaches, although I have always maybe suspected it was also about something else. Although, you know, again, who knows?
Well, peaches have appeared in other songs, other
right,
rock songs,
yeah.
And they generally have not been about fruit.
Right. Yeah, that's a suspicious fruit, I would say, to employ lyrically.
Fred Plotkin, in the world of opera, is gluttony a part of the real life of what takes place not on stage, but...
Well, yes,
after
I just want to add about
down.
Peaches that Ella Fitzgerald once sang, if you don't like my peaches, why do you shake my tree? pleasure eating off the stage, because what happens is after a performance, the singers have expended so much energy and they're on such a high and they need nutrition that they go off. And I've made many bowls of pasta for many great opera singers. And they eat with great relish, and it's their means of coming down. With one exception, Beverly Sills, every opera singer I've known eats after a performance. She ate a steak before, at 4 o'clock. Then there were the old-time singers who ate all day to keep up their strength.
Well, they had to keep up with the composers like Rossini, who seems to have retired early just so he could devote the rest of his life to eating.
Well, in part, Rossini moved to Paris, everyone thinks, for the money. He moved there because there were better doctors, because he had terrible gastric problems and other issues.
Gee, I wonder why.
And it was only when he got to Paris, though, that he realized there were things like truffles and other products. And he once said, in effect, that the stomach is the great conductor that leads the symphony of the passions. And he created all kinds of recipes. Everything seems to have goose fat, truffles, and he had terrible kidney stones and gallstones. And I've read the Rossini medical history, and it's amazing that he lived to 76 years old.
He wrote a series of pieces after his retirement from the opera stage, which he literally called The Sins of My Old Age.
And I look forward to one day hearing them.
So this the famous aria, Di Tanti Palpiti.
Yeah. That's from Tancredi, and he called it the Rice Aria because he was writing it already in bed. It fell out of bed, and rather than get out of bed to get it, he wrote another one in the time that it takes him to make a risotto.
There's a man who likes his food, Gioacchino Rossini. Still to come on Soundcheck, we'll find out what separates gluttony from plain old greed as we continue devouring the topics of food and music. And then later, the legendary doo-wop group The Persuasions performs live, accompanied by the sounds or the rhythms of the human heartbeat in a work by Christopher Janney. Stay tuned. This is Soundcheck.
Say it again. Roll mighty river. Roll mighty river. Black Muddy River, roll on. When the last rose of summer pricks my finger.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Our look at gluttony as a sinful but delicious device in music continues, part of our series Seven Sins, the Deadly Medley. And I'm joined by music writers Fred Plotkin and Amanda Petrasich. And we heard earlier about how gluttony in music is often referring really to sexual appetite. But sometimes, Amanda, food in music is just about food, isn't it? Sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a Bob Wills song that I picked called That's What I Like About the South. It's just sort of a catalog of delicious Southern food. And I think that's a song that's very kind of earnestly, you know, I mean, that's what he loves about where he comes from.
And Fred, in the background, we're hearing some Tafelmusik by Georg Philipp Telemann, who was a contemporary of Bach, much more famous than Bach in their day.
He made a fortune on this music. He played it everywhere.
What was this music for?
Well, table music in general began in Italy with Monteverdi. He wrote madrigals to go with meals. And then there was a composer named Johann Schein, who was German, who wrote something called Banchetto Musicale in 1617.
A
musical banquet. And it had 20 sections because there were 20 courses for the banquet he wrote it for. But the most famous was, by Telemann. And it was meant to be music you dined by. And later on, this music came to be known as a divertimento, a diversion from. But when we talk about divertimento, it relates to food.
Wow. So even the Mozart divertimenti were.
Yes.
Although by that point, were they still being used to accompany big banquets,
not
lavish
meals?
Not so
much big banquets, but probably just coffee and cake. It aids the digestion.
All right. What separates gluttony from greed? I mean, it's kind of the same thing, isn't it? It's always wanting more, maximum consumption. Isn't that kind of what we're talking about, Amanda?
Absolutely. I think Maximum Consumption, you know, that song by the Kinks from 1972, I mean, that's the song that popped right into my head when I heard Gluttony. You know, and this is from a record called Everybody's in Showbiz, which is sort of a, you know, I hesitate to call it a concept record, but it's very much about the idea of rock and roll excess. And this certainly is a song about eating way too much.
And is this about food?
Well, a little bit. I think it starts out being very much about food and then sort of devolves, so to speak, into you know, a bit of a metaphor for kind of the rock and roll roller coaster and fame and other people making money off of you.
And a life of excess.
Right.
A life of too much.
Always.
Here's the Kinks, Maximum Consumption.
Two eggs over light, homemade apple pie, cold slaw as a side order.
That's the Kinks from their 1972 record, Everybody's in Showbiz. The song is Maximum Consumption. It's all about wretched excess, or perhaps not so wretched excess. For the second week in a row, we have someone writing in and suggesting a Joni Mitchell song. She came up a couple of times in our Lust program last week. Jan from Hoboken writes, Banquet from For the Roses by Joni Mitchell. Jennifer in Brooklyn suggests, how about Fats Waller's 1941 great All That Meat and No Potatoes?
That's a great one. With a name like Fats Waller, I mean, you're
right. That's true, right? All You Can Eat by the rap group The Fat Boys, writes Audrey from Manhattan. Their entire act was built upon overindulgence. Fred, you know, being as involved in the opera world as you've been over the years, when you see things like, you know, this rap group, that, you know, their image is one of overindulgence, there's nothing new there, is there?
No, it's as old as, goes back to ancient times, to our orgies. Bacchus and Dionysus, they gave us music, they gave us wine, it all went together. So this continues to this day. Verdi, for example, really knew food. He was a gastronome. He wrote his own recipes. And there was an expression, there still is in opera, that the music of Verdi is like a pig. Nothing goes to waste. Everything gets used.
And I suppose, you know, we're talking about when is food just food and when is it a metaphor for something else. I suppose when you don't have a lot of food. I mean, you know, there are these medieval songs that are all about how wonderful it is when the boar's head is brought in for the Christmas feast.
Yes, but also think of Hansel and Gretel. The children are hungry for the whole opera, so when they finally see a gingerbread cookie, they eat it. Or in Oliver Twist, the Broadway show Oliver, food, glorious food, is really about the absence of food.
Right.
And for all these sins, I'm mindful of the absence of...
Well, I guess, Amanda, just, you know, kind of summing this up, what is it about all of these sins, whether it's gluttony or lust or pride or whatever, that makes them such great fodder for songs?
I think part of it, of course, is fantasy. You know, I mean, I think that's a big chunk of what we turn to rock and roll music, what we turn to pop music for, you know, that sense of what we can't give ourselves, you know, we're going to get it through these tracks. But I also think, you know, that lifestyle, I mean, you know, pop star, rock star, I mean, when you think of, you hear those words, I mean, what do you think? You know, you think a guy stumbling around with a bottle of Jack Daniels in his hand or you know, someone who's built an entire career, an entire life around overindulgence.
Sound any different from opera star, Fred?
Sometimes a ham is just a ham.
I mentioned Dee Dee Sharp a little earlier and gravy for my mashed potatoes. Here's a little bit of that. And gluttony has been on the docket for this week's edition of The Seven Sins, The Deadly Medley. Amanda Petrusich, Fred Plotkin with me here in the studios. It's been delicious speaking with both of you. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Gluttony today. Next Friday, it's Greed's turn. And coming up next, a composer who made music for subway platforms and bank facades joins us with his latest collaborators, the doo-wop group The Persuasions. And tune in on Monday to find out why American composers are mostly male, white, and poor. This is Soundcheck. So give me